heaters on you on a golf course, I would assume you don't play stone links in the early morning or evening hours.
That's a good point.
That is a good point. But it is built basically in and around a swamp. I do love playing stone links. That's my personal best round over there. Took $10 off Pat Bradley one day. Last week, I played out there one day after work and killed a skeeter that was so big I swear it had a tick on it. That's a big skeeter.
It's a big skeeter.
That was my only time ever breaking 80. I've never sniffed it again since, but it was one glorious day. Oh, I love you, stone links. You're my all-time favorite. It's a good day.
I had a Pat Bradley take it that day.
He wasn't that happy.
I'm not sure he counted exactly right, but I don't bring it up because
he made me putt out every three-footer. He was being a punk because I was killing him.
I mean, that's the whole idea to me.
You know what? I wish I would do that now because I missed about three of them during the four ball this weekend, and it cost us.
I never quite get that. Like, I always feel dirty when people say, pick it up, pick it
up. God, I love it.
Did I really do it, though?
I'll take anything I can get. Look, life's hard enough, bro. Yeah. I mean, without putting three-footers.
Well, I'm just saying it'd be like playing pickup basketball, and a guy's got it under the basket. You go, hey, bro, it's good.
Let me tell you, don't even shoot it.
Let me tell you something.
Let me tell you something, Pat Bradley. Working here is like 8 hours of three-footers, okay? So I need an occasional break when I can get one.
All right. You know what? Maybe we should lower expectations. People miss three-footers.
Not if they had the 15-inch. They need to expand the hole. I'm all for that.
Now that's an idea I can get behind.
Fine idea. Joe, there's a guy that they questioned basketball-related. Here's Sean's in the Bluff. What's up, Sean?
Hey, what's up, fellas?
Hey, guy.
Hey, I was just calling in regards to the gentleman, one of the callers that just called in and asked about, I believe he was asking about a baseball player, Wiggins or something like that. He was asking if we knew if he was going to come to Arkansas and turn pro. And I believe that's the guy that was on OT yesterday with Matt Jones. I think that's the big hitter. He's a real good hitter. I think that's who the guy's talking about. And if that's the guy that was on OT yesterday, I just want to let him know. He said he's coming to Arkansas.
Okay.
I think he was picked up by the Phillies, but he was interviewed and said he was coming to Arkansas.
Well, see, there you go. Anything I need to know in this world, I can find out from overtime. They're brilliant.
We got another one.
Thanks for the heads up on that, Sean.
He's a big hitter, the llama.
He is a big hitter, the llama. And if you ever need it, he can give you total consciousness. So get that going for you, which is nice. Joe, Adam Silver has his hands full of this idiot Donald Sterling who refuses to go down without
at
a
all.
Fight. Yeah, exactly. No, he's going to go down eventually. Six feet under and then a trip to hell's basement. But that's for a later time. At this point now, he's just going down in the world of reputation. On another note, though, Silver has said that he would like to adopt a draft system that requires NCAA players to spend 2 years in college before they can enter the NBA. I know you would love to have the enviable position of having a player that was good enough to leave after year one, but in general, what is your thought on the two-year deal, or would you like to see him have to go a la baseball where they either go pro immediately or have to stay at least X amount of years?
Well, I think they should have the option of going out of high school. I mean, now you're going to run into some kids who get torched by that, but at the end of the day, you can't. It's college isn't for everybody. You know, every kid doesn't want to go to college. You can't sit there and say you do not have the right to go earn money. You have to go to college. I don't think that. I don't like that. But I do think from the college standpoint, it's also fair to say, hey, if you are going to go to college, you're going to go for 2 or 3 years, because mm-hmm. it's not fair to the college who's making a financial,
a commitment
to you mm-hmm. and a time commitment to you and recruiting you and so on and so forth. And you know, I think that's only fair that they go at least 2 years, maybe three. You know, it would probably end up being two. But
what do you think is taking so long? Because hearing you explain it like that, it makes a whole lot of sense. And I think there's a lot of folks who say, yeah, you know what? That's probably the best way to do it. But yet we're still having discussions of getting there.
Well, I think it's like anything. You got to get three people on board. You got to get the owners. I think they're on board to do it. I think the teams... You know, but I think the players.
Talk about the players union, players association.
I think the owners are willing to do it. I think the players themselves are ready to do it. I think it's better for the NBA. It's better for college. College wants it. The NBA wants it. Now you got to get the players union. And I think they want it. I just think those things are things that have to be collectively bargained. You know, you're not going to just come in and start giving up, giving up years and giving up this and that as a union. You know, you want to try to bargain, try to maybe, okay, we'll give you this, you're going to give us that.
So we'll see it.
So
I think you'll see it
by the collective bargaining. I think it'll definitely, maybe before then, but
is the CBA discussed every year? Or is there a period of time? Is it a contract for a certain period of years?
Yeah, it's usually a 3 to 4 or 5 year period.
Okay.
I mean, I think the last one was
pretty
two
ugly.
3 years ago, yeah, they went to Christmas that day without a deal. Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's right. Well, because Billy Hunter was being an idiot.
Right. So I think
while he was hiring his relatives, he was being an idiot.
So I think they got two more years, I believe.
Okay.
Maybe one after this one.
All right.
So I think, and I'm not sure on that. So
Dwayne Wade fined $5,000 for flopping on a play. What is a perfect solution if you were Adam Silver to keep this from happening or to properly enforce it? I think we can all agree that $5,000 to D Wade's going to dump $5,000 this morning while he's getting ready for the game.
Well, there's a quandary there. I mean, the way you fix it is you make it a
big word. There's a guy who stayed in school,
right? I think you have to make the penalty immediate. There has to be like two foul shots in the ball, kind of like a technical or something if you flop.
So but would it be the three officials going to the board, the monitor,
and that's what they would have to?
Yeah,
I suggest that
you'd have to stop the game and go and check it.
But yeah. I think that's the only way.
I suggest that they pay a fourth official. They got the money,
right? Or you have a guy on a monitor, and you know, you try to make it still try tough, to make yeah. But you're gonna it's
you
gonna
should
end.
Have a buzzer. That's a flop. Two free throws.
Well, it's just difficult because. Because
sometimes it's
angle,
not called.
You can't, yeah.
So what do you do? Yeah. It's like you just said, I mean, it's like the other night it was called. But what if it wasn't called?
Yeah.
If Wade went back and kind of flopped and tried to pull him off, he's flopping, but there was no foul called. So, I mean, you stop the game?
Yeah.
I mean, what do? I mean, you stop it when there's no whistle. The guy goes to his hip, and now you stop, and everybody's looking around wondering what's going on, and everybody goes to the monitor. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know that I like that.
I think at the end of the day, the more that they continue to pay attention to it, eventually the social pressure on these players, I think they'll get it.
Do you think so?
Or you do something like, and they may already be doing this, I don't know, but to where it's like the flagrant one, flagrant two.
Flopping one, flopping
two?
Well,
no, I mean, if you get,
that'd be awesome.
If you do it 5 or 6 times, you know, and you keep doing it and – I don't know.
Cereal, you make it like the technical rule.
Flopper.
The technical rule is once you get like, what is it, like 7 or 10 or 12, whatever it is, technicals through the year, you get suspended a game.
Right.
And a game check might have an impact on some guys. Maybe not D-Wade, but others.
And missing a game.
Yeah.
So, that's a crucial part, missing a crucial game.
So, I mean, that way you don't interrupt the flow of the game. Mm-hmm. So,
because at the end of the day, if I'm one of these guys and it comes down to one call, one basket, one play, and you got to sell a flop for a $5,000 fine, but it's so important in an NBA Finals game. I'm doing it.
Yeah.
Amen.
you do it in a pickup game, if that's what it was going to take.
You got to do it.
Say, Dwayne Wade, hey, you give us $5,000 and we'll give you a crucial call late in the game. Be like, how you want it.
But don't you think, Joe, that you
want
get
it in dimes?
You get a reputation, though. I mean, if you got a flopping reputation, they're going to watch you more closely. In the same way that if you're a guy that's a little bit nuts and you do odd things Rodman used to do, they would probably took some calls that he didn't necessarily deserve because he's him.
And then there's going to be some times when you get blasted and you get knocked out of bounds or something, and they're not going to call it, and you're going to pop up and go,
Wolf.
You know, and they're going to say, you know, sorry, dude.
You've carved Wolf too many times.
I think overall the officials do a heck of a job. I really
it's an impossible game. The high school, I mean, basketball to me at every level is the hardest game to call.
I agree.
It's not even close.
Where they're like, all you really have is pass interference for subjectiveness in NFL.
Holding.
Yeah, but I mean, I think it's still pretty clear cut. You could probably call it every play. Yeah, but I mean, almost every play in basketball can be construed as subjective.
The whole thing with basketball is the officials gotta determine early in the game. You know, if I'm not gonna call this, I can't call. You know,
right.
Gotta be, and that's the hardest thing for them to do is to not, you know. Because sometimes a hand check influences the play. Sometimes a hand check doesn't influence the play. Sometimes a little hold on the box out doesn't influence a guy to get the rebound. I mean, it's
I think whether it's a home
subjective
home plate official or an NBA referee or any call or any basketball referee, the best thing you can say about them is they're consistent. Because if the guy's got a big strike zone, but he calls it the same all game long, you can live with it. Same thing with basketball. As long as they're going to call it a certain way, you can live with it. Who was the most consistent referee you can remember working with?
I really liked. Hey Dana, how you doing?
Earl Strom.
Dana, I'm on the radio.
She's not listening. Maybe we could call her one of our other stations that we are friends
with. Hey, Dana, I'm on the radio with Justin and Pat. Say hi.
I can hear her. Hi, Dana.
Say hello.
Oh, she hung
she
up on you already.
She might be the greatest referee you've ever worked with.
Yeah,
she's very consistent.
No, but what were we saying? Where were we?
Who's the most consistent ref?
I loved Jess Kersey.
What about Earl Strom?
He was on his way out.
What about Dick Bavetta?
I like Dick Bavetta.
Joey Crawford.
Joey was great. I used to love messing with him because he.
That's a.
Hey Joe, you can go
ahead. Is
that
you playing the piano? Is that a recording of you?
Just thought I'd put it on silent.
They call him Joe Arachi. He tickles the ivories.
Speaking of the 1984 draft, Leon Wood. Leon Wood, the 10th pick in the draft, ends up being an NBA referee.
Who's the worst? Oh,
I did not.
It's a long list.
Yeah, I don't want to do that. I like his son. His son's refereeing now.
Okay.
But I didn't.
Who's his son? Don't say who he is.
Who was the funniest? Who was the funniest guy that like give you a hard time?
I love Jess Kersey.
Okay.
Jess Kersey was.
You got any anecdotal stuff? I mean, anything you remember?
He just talked to you during the game. You know, like I mean, I remember one night in New York. I mean, Patrick Ewing was just torching Chief and I. I mean, I think he had 50 something.
Chief.
Torching Chief is a funny phrase, but yes.
But I mean, he was, and I mean, Jess was the official. And I mean, I was like on the free throw line. And I was like, and he kind of came over to me in kind of a nice way, kind of said, "You're in a really." It was a little more colorful than this, but it's kind of like, "You're in a really bad way tonight. You got problems.
You're in a crap storm."
Yeah.
Pat,
listen. As we go into this break, I'm gonna throw out a little Joe Klein.